Father, we come to this time where we open your word. And Lord, I want to pray that for each and every one of us here, you would give us an attentive heart, ears to hear what the Spirit would want to say to us this morning by way of your word. Open our hearts up, Lord. Open our understanding and our minds up to receive, Lord, that which you would want to impart to us this morning. And so we just lift this time up to you now, Lord. Pray for the leading, the guiding, the directing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the past several years, we have seen and we have experienced unprecedented upheaval in the world. We have seen the collapse of our financial systems. We've seen bankruptcies of major corporations. We've seen whole segments of business go out of business. The swine flu scare, wars, and rumors of wars. And we've been involved as a country in Afghanistan, Iraq, and now, from the latest news, Libya. And we've seen acts of terrorism abroad and at home, political unrest in nations, great earthquakes in various places, tsunamis following some of those earthquakes, unparalleled weather phenomena, and now the threat of radiation from broken nuclear plants in Japan. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been lost through some of these events, and many more hundreds of thousands affected by these events. Certainly the 21st century has not seen the advancement of peace on earth, but great trouble, great turmoil, great unrest, and even a great shaking of the earth itself. And if you know your Bible, you understand that things will not get better, they will only get worse. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 8, he said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences," that's disease, "and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." All these are the beginning of sorrows. You see, many of these events are the birth pains that will precede the coming tribulation period, a time that Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 21, would be such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. Luke tells us in Luke 21, verse 26, that in the future, men's hearts will be failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Without a doubt, there's been a whole lot of shaking going on in this world. And I don't just mean the earth's crust, but the world's institutions as well. Those things that men put their hope, their trust in, those things are shaking. Those things are failing. Those things are stumbling. Their politics, their retirement plans, their stock portfolio, their savings, and even the security for some of their homes. As men in this world look at the unfolding of God's divine plan, fear grips their hearts, and they even suffer the failure of their hearts as a direct result, as we just read, men's hearts failing them for fear. But how do we as believers in Jesus Christ respond to the events in the world around us? How then should we live in light of these current events, and more importantly, in light of eternity? What does God's word have to say to us? This is the subject of this morning's message, and this message is titled, Fear Not. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin here, but we'll be jumping around a little bit through the Bible as we look at what God has to say to us this morning. So 1 John chapter 4. 14 times in the New Testament we read the admonition, fear not. Over 20 times we read of being afraid. And often Jesus was telling his disciples to not be afraid. We also read that we're not to be troubled and not to be anxious. Certainly fear, anxiety, and troubled thoughts are human conditions that we are prone to. The disciples were often prone to this very same emotion. Our Lord constantly spoke to the disciples to fear not. And why did he have to remind them not to fear? Because they were afraid. Why does God want to remind us not to fear? Because we're often afraid. Today we're facing difficulties that cause people to fear, to be anxious, to be troubled in mind and heart. Maybe some of you are in this place, a place of fear, a place of anxiousness, a place of trouble. Some of you may be losing sleep over your fears. Fears may be affecting some of you in the area of your health and some of you in the area of your relationships. Now, fear is a normal body reaction to events that we face. And it can be useful. It can be useful in keeping us safe. For instance, it keeps us from getting too close to the edge of a dangerous cliff and thereby saves us from a fall. But it can also be destructive. Destructive when it takes over our lives and cripples our ability to trust the Lord by faith. In 1 John chapter 4, look with me at verse 18. Here we read, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. John declares that there is no fear in love. In context, he's speaking about God's love for us. In verses 9 and 10 above there, we read, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. That means replacement sacrifice. The propitiation, the replacement sacrifice for our sins. So first, in this text, we who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior need not fear God. We have believed and are at peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible declares in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. Here's a demonstration of God's love. You want to know how great God's love is for you? Here it is. Here's the demonstration of it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God the Son loved you enough to go to the cross, to suffer, and to die, when you were a sinner, consider how much more he loves you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? Consider that. Know the love of God for you. Secondly, we see that perfect love casts out fear. Fear is defeated. Fear is cast out when we trust in God's perfect love for us. When we trust the Lord and his love for us, we can not only endure the hardships of life, but we can endure them without losing our joy or our temper. I know of some saints who, in the midst of great trials, great hardships, they have the most wonderful smiles on their faces, the most wonderful countenance about them. Unless you knew them and their situation, you would never, ever guess at the great trial they were under. It's because they trust in God's love for them. They believe the Lord, and as a consequence, they have great peace in their lives. They're not frustrated about the things that take place in their lives because they're trusting the Lord. When we understand God's perfect love for us, we then trust God with the situations that we experience in our lives. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's the requirement. You got to love the Lord. Amen. They all work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Do you believe that scripture? Do you believe it? And more importantly, do you cling to it during the hardships of life, during the difficulties, during the time where you're feeling pressed in by life circumstances? Do you cling to God's word? Do you believe it? You should, because it's absolutely true. God loves you and cares for you more than you do for yourself. Do you know that? He loves you and he cares for you more than you love and care for yourself. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, Jesus said this. He said, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins?" We're talking pennies here. "And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear." There's that admonition again. "Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Here we read that if God does not forget some of the smallest birds, whose worth is measured by a few copper coins, then he has not forgotten you, who are made in the image and likeness of God, according to Genesis chapter 1. You can trust God's love for you. Now, thirdly, from 1 John 4:18, we learn that fear involves torment. You see, torment is its own punishment, and it results from a lack of faith. Someone once said that most of the things we fear never come to pass. Do you ever find that true in your life? The things that you fear the most, I'm afraid of getting mugged. How many of you ever actually been mugged? Okay. You know, I'm afraid of, you know, having a plane crash. Well, you're all here. You probably haven't been in a plane crash, right? But many of you probably got on a flight worried about the plane crashing, right? Many of the things that we fear never, ever come to pass. And yet so much time and effort is spent worrying about things that may happen, but in most cases never, ever do. We torment ourselves with fears and concerns and worries, and most of it imagined. Ultimately, this fear is expressed in our relationship to God, or our lack of relationship to it. When we stand before God, we who believe need not fear God. We need not fear eternal punishment, torment, because of what Jesus has done for us and our faith in him and in his completed work on the cross on our behalf. So as a current application, if we don't need to fear eternal punishment and death because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ loves us so much, then we don't need to fear what this world can throw at us either. Do you understand? If we don't need to fear the greatest thing possible, eternal separation from God because of our faith in Jesus Christ, then we don't need to fear the situations and the circumstances of life that we often find ourselves in, knowing how greatly God loves us. Lastly, from this text in 1 John 4:18, we see that he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Are you still struggling to know and understand that God loves you? Is that a struggle for you? This word perfect means complete. Fear in your relationship with God means that something is lacking, not complete in that relationship. Perhaps you have never come to faith in Christ. You have been attending church, being religious, but have not truly surrendered your life to Christ. Now, if that's you, then now is the time, and today is the day to surrender your life to Christ, to be at peace with God. Perhaps there is sin in your life, sin that you have not forsaken, and so you fear God, and as a result, you fear death, hardship, difficulties, because you fear divine punishment. If that's you, then repent and be made right with God. In 1 John 1:9, the Bible says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if that weren't enough, it goes on and says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We call that God's holy soap. Confessing our sins, being forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's available to those of you who believe, you see. So get right with God. Get right with the Lord by confessing to him and repenting, turning away from those things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And when you do, it takes away the fear, takes away the lack of peace, and you then again have this wonderful peace and relationship with God. There may also be some whose faith is weak. You don't believe God could love you so much to care about every circumstance in your life, so much so that even as we read that all the hairs on your head are numbered. I've made it my goal to make it easier for the Lord to number my hairs. Yeah. But if that's you, if you don't believe God could love you so much, to you, the scripture says in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So go back to confession and repentance and believe God and what he's already said about his love for you. Now turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we read this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul to the young pastor Timothy. Many believe that he was a bit timid and so needed to be encouraged to get on with the Lord's work. Paul wrote in the preceding verse, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Here's a man in the ministry experiencing fear, needing to be reminded by Paul that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Notice what lies in opposition by way of contrast to fear in this verse. Power, love, and a sound mind. When we trust the Lord, we walk in spiritual power. We walk in victory when we trust the Lord. When we trust the Lord, we walk in love, not fear. We walk in love. When we trust the Lord, we have a sound mind. That means a healthy mind. Not crazy thoughts, not irrational fears. You see? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Fear can overcome us. Fear can debilitate us, render us ineffective for the kingdom of God. We haven't been called to hide under a rock or under a bushel basket, but as Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Fear causes us to hide, to withdraw, and worse than that, to hide the gospel message, to hide our light from a lost and needy world around us. Paul, back in 2 Timothy 1:8, continued encouraging this young pastor by saying this. He said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. As young Timothy, this young pastor, saw the developments in the world in which he lived, the rise of Caesar Nero, the various persecutions, the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul, the death of many of the other apostles and saints, he began to withdraw in fear and needed to be encouraged to move ahead, to move forward, to sound the advance, not the retreat, to share in the work of the gospel. You see, the Spirit of God, which dwells in us who believe, the Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear, for he has not given us a spirit of fear. If we are fearing, worrying, fretting, anxious, troubled, as we look at the world around us, that does not come from God, but from our lack of faith, worked over by our imagination, spurred on by the enemy of our faith, the devil. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. I want to go through a few scriptures there with us this morning as well. Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. In verse 4 of chapter 12, Jesus said, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Notice two things here. First of all, Jesus calls those who believe my friends. My friends. Isn't that wonderful? Does that encourage you? It should. Jesus looks at you and he calls you his friends. Notice also that if we need not fear death because Jesus is our friend, then as a consequence, we also need not fear life and life's circumstances either. In verse 22, in the same chapter, Luke 12, verse 22, Jesus continues this discourse. Then he said to his disciples, again, he's talking to those who are following him. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If so, then he's speaking in a sense to you as well. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. This statement follows the parable of the rich fool, who said in verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. To which God replies to him in the very next verse, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? In other words, Jesus is saying you can worry all you want and you can store up for yourself all that you want to have temporary security, but it will not last. It is only temporary. So do not worry about your life. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. In verse 24, Jesus gives us some more practical examples to help us understand this principle. And he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, nor condominium or three-car garage. And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Again, we see that God values human life above all other life. And since he takes care of all these other creatures, he will take care of us. He will take care of you. Verse 25, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Worry does not lead to increase. You don't get better because you worry. You can't get taller by worrying about how short you are. Worry does not change our circumstances, does it? Have you ever had your circumstances change because you worried about it? I'll bet you haven't. Worry does not lead to increase. Verse 26. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? So if by worrying and being anxious, even the smallest of things cannot be accomplished, why do we worry and fret over all the rest of these things? Whether or not, you know, the world is going to fall apart, or we're going to have an earthquake in California or in Nevada. Why do we worry about all these other things if we can't change them, even the smallest of things, by way of worrying? Verses 27 and 28, we read, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So God even cares for the grass and for the flowers, not just the birds, but even the grass. Again, we see the value God puts on our lives above all his creation, whether it be the birds, the whales in the ocean, or the grass out in your yard. But more importantly, we arrive at, we get to the heart of the matter of worry, of anxious thoughts, of fear. And the heart of the matter is this: little faith. Our fears, our worries, our anxieties are a direct result of our lack of faith, our small faith. Now, where does faith come from? And how do you get greater faith? If your faith is small, then how do you get greater faith? We often look at people with great faith and we admire them. We wonder how you could have such great faith. Well, the Bible tells us. It tells us in Romans 10:17, and this is what God's word says about getting faith. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A lack of faith comes from a lack of God's word. If you need more faith, then read more of God's word. It's a simple and it's as profound as that. In fact, the Apostle John wrote in his gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he said this at the end of his gospel. He said, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe, that's the word for faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, he wrote his gospel with the express purpose to encourage faith in Jesus Christ. And again, this agrees that faith comes from God's word. I often tell new believers, once they receive Christ, read the gospel of John. It will increase, it will grow your faith according to what John wrote here in verses 30 and 31. So the problem of fear and all of its expressions, such as worry, fretting, anxiety, etc., can only be overcome, can only be defeated by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God's love, faith in God's promises, his care and ultimate plan for you, faith in what God has said in his word. It all comes down to faith. Faith defeats fear. Let me say that to you again. Faith defeats fear. Fear. It conquers fear. It eliminates fear. It removes the torment that fear brings. So have faith. Have faith in God. Now, as we conclude, let's finish a couple of verses here in Luke 12, picking up in verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. There that is again. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. We as believers in Jesus Christ do not need to respond to the situations unfolding in the world around us like the world responds to them. You understand that? We don't need to respond like the unbelieving world responds to the situations that they find themselves in, their hearts failing them for fear, looking upon those things which are coming upon on the earth. We don't need to respond in that way. God knows our needs, all of our needs. He'll meet those needs according to his plan and purpose for our lives. Now, this does not mean that we will not see hardships as believers. But hardships do not destroy us. Hardships do not debilitate us. In fact, hardships, difficulties, pressing in is often used by God to mold us and to shape us, to make us into a vessel that he can and will use for his purpose and for his glory. Many of you know how you refine gold and silver, right? You put it in the furnace of fire, right? And when that silver or gold is in the furnace of fire, the impurities come to the surface and can be skimmed off. God often uses difficulties in our lives to purify us. So while the world is worrying and fretting and destroyed by these things, these same circumstances, these same difficulties and hardships, we as believers, those purify us. They cleanse us of those things God wants to remove from our lives. So how then should we live in light of the upheaval we see in the world around us? Look with me now. We're still in chapter 12, verse 31. But, and that's a word of contrast to all that's been said before, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Our problem so often is, like the rich fool in the parable, we're seeking our own kingdom, not the Lord's. We need to trust the Lord and to put the emphasis of our lives in the right and proper place. That is seeking the kingdom of God. When we do, right here it says, when we do, all these things, what things? The concerns, the needs, the food, the clothing, the housing, the transportation, all these other things will be added to you. Those things that we spend so much time and effort worrying about, fearing about, will be taken care of us or taken care of for us by the Lord when we put him and his kingdom first in our lives. Lastly, Jesus says this to us, and listen closely. He says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." Imagine that. God is going to give you, you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to give to you the kingdom of God that will last for all eternity belongs to those who believe, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. This life, its cares, worries, concerns, fears, is only temporary for the believer. It's the kingdom of God that is eternal, that's going to last forever. It's everlasting. It's that life, that kingdom that we all need to be shooting for, need to be aspiring to. We are God's flock. Listen closely. We are God's flock, and God takes care of his flock. Amen? He is the good shepherd. And he takes care of his flock. He takes care of his children. He takes care of his lambs. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust him when your finances are dwindling away? I know every week I'm spending more money on gas than the last week. Do you trust the Lord in that time? Do you trust him when your health fails? Do you trust him when the earth shakes? Do you trust him when the seas roar? Do you trust the Lord? It all comes down to trust, to faith in God. Faith defeats fear. So have faith in the Lord. Amen? Amen. At this time, our ushers are going to serve communion.